I never use these app much, but there is one time that really stands out. It just happened to be from a dating app. I match with this girl who's really pretty. She's plain and seems to want a simple night out. No tattoos, no urge to party, and doesn't seem to be into drugs. All signs point to a nice, quiet night out. We agree to meet up for dinner and test the waters of conversation. It was your average Americana restaurant. A place I only went to once and probably went out of business later that summer. We take a booth in the back. This girl slides in next to me without any hesitation. Alright, kinda strange, but not the weirdest thing ever. We're having a little small talk, getting each other's names right, when I feel her fingers creep into the palm of my hand. For some reason, I like pretend I didn't notice. I mean, surely she's not trying to hold my hand 30 seconds after meeting me. As the waitress comes back to take our drink order, her fingers slide in between mine for the classic hand interlock. This is really happening. It's not the weird part, though. Throughout the entire meal, she never let go of my hand. "Can you squeeze harder?" she asked me. "What?" I replied. "Come on, your hands are so big, mine are so little. Can you squeeze them real hard?" She went on and on. I obliged because I thought she was being cute. She giggled and wrung my wrist back and forth like we were on a walk or something and not in a packed restaurant. The waitress brought the meal back and still, this girl never let go. We did our best to eat with one hand, one utensil, while she continued to ask me to squeeze her hand harder and harder. Finally, I realized she wasn't being cute. She was just being seriously strange. I saw the other tables looking at us with confused looks, and I realized my conundrum. "You're so strong, you could really hurt someone," she explained to me. "Squeeze until I say ow," she insisted. "Huh?" was all I could say back. "Squeeze harder. Squeeze until you hear my bones pop," she instructed me. Okay, now I was getting kind of creeped out. It's almost like she wanted me to hurt her. Finally, I pulled my hand out of her wiry little grip. What seemed like a for sure safe date turned out to be a total lunatic. I called for the tab while she pleaded for me not to go, and it was all a joke. I didn't understand. I paid the bill, walked out the front door, and never saw that lady again. I didn't even have to block her on the app because I deleted it immediately after. Sometimes, though, I can't help but wonder what she was looking for. More importantly, did she find it? I'm a very outgoing woman. But I'm larger than most men like, so I have a hard time making connections. That being said, I was on every dating website and app for at least 5 years. It was the easiest way to stay current in the dating scene without constantly striking out. Dating people you only know through the web leads to some weird encounters. One of these encounters happened when I accepted a date invite. It came from one of the shortest men I've ever seen. I have nothing against dating men that are shorter than me, but I get comfortable when they're too small because I'm 5'11 and overweight. This guy was 5'4 and maybe weighed 115 pounds. Despite the severe size gap, he seemed like a genuinely nice guy, had a lot in common with me, and even seemed to have his life together. Many guys and girls throughout online dating service don't have jobs or cars, a house, or income of any kind. So when you meet someone who has all of those things, you definitely try to keep the conversation going. Well, we go to grab drinks at a bar. He's nice. We're having a good time. But eventually, he starts making odd comments about my height and how strong I looked. I thought maybe he was just a little socially awkward, but hey, it didn't seem malicious. But he didn't stop. Every other word out of his mouth was a compliment regarding my size. It got more and more uncomfortable to the point I couldn't enjoy myself anymore. And in a weird backwards way, I understood what girls meant when they complained about being objectified. It's like you aren't a person at all. Toward the end of the date, he ends up telling me that he has a fetish around being picked up, lifted, and squeezed by larger women than him. He says there's nothing else that satisfies him, and it's been this way for many years. Oh. Okay, well, some people have their thing, and at least I could kind of see what he was attracted to me physically for. So I agree to a second date. Well, leading up to all of his messages, it started being about how he couldn't wait for me to lift him up in my big, strong arms, and how he wondered if I could lift him up over my head. Eventually, that was the only focus, and I'll admit I got weirded out and politely told him I was no longer interested in him. He took it surprisingly well for someone so forward. I was partly expecting the classic clingy, "you're the only one for me" kind of behavior. I judged him way too soon, as he turned out to be somewhat of a classy guy, just a little shameless with his fetish. But that wasn't the weirdest. The worst? I matched with a guy on OkCupid, but we never actually got a chance to meet. There was never any mention of a date. We briefly talked, and then he kind of fell off by the wayside for a few months. One day, he reappears in my message requests, apologizes for being absent, and explains that he was on another date with an OkCupid member for quite a while. No worries, that's what the service is for. He explains further that he and the other girl have broken up, but are still talking from time to time. Okay, splendid. Where do I fall into all of this? Between the two of them, there was very little chemistry, but apparently the sex was really good. They wanted to know if I'd be interested in a threesome to help elevate their bedroom play. It was creepy, disparaging, and it got me off of dating services for quite some time. I had a happy ending though. My long-term partner and I met on OkCupid, and I couldn't be happier. You just have to weed through the wrong ones and the weirdos until you find the right one to fit. I used to have a job that was adjacent to sex work. It was completely legal and it made me a decent wage and allowed for a lot of free time. Was it safe? Not really. Was it fun? Probably too much. I was at a strange point in my life where danger equated excitement. Now, since I was always having this casual fun through my line of work, used a lot of dating apps to fill some of my time. I had it in my head that work was work. These were guys that paid my bills. Not anyone I'd ever consider getting involved with. I thought I'd just find a casual boyfriend through an app, not realizing this person probably wouldn't be cool with my lifestyle, just to put it plainly. I matched with the guy I was head over heels for. Without going into too much detail, he looked and talked like the guys I dreamt about. He was so tailored to my taste that I actually kept him a secret from my friends. I thought if I shared my discovery, it would tarnish it in some way. Like one of my friends might steal him from underneath me before I could even meet him. In hindsight, maybe I thought it was too good to be true. It's what I call getting love bombed, the honeymoon phase. Two people seeing the most perfect versions of one another, long before anything can be spoiled by who they really are. I was getting love bombed bad. I wanted to talk to this guy at all hours, so it was starting to affect my job. Finally, we caved and just made plans. No wasted time in dinner or a bar. He gave me his address and I dropped by late one night after work. It was explosive from the start, literally from the moment we met at the door. It was raw and passionate. None of the sterile structure I had at work. Like I could really let go and to succumb to whatever I wanted to do with this guy. He changed as things got heavier though. He started talking to me in a way I really didn't like. He'd talked dirty to me since we first started chatting, but this was a step beyond. Was mean and degrading and honestly a little scary. "I thought you liked this," he said. I didn't really know what to say. He started telling me about where I worked and what I did while I was on the clock. Suddenly, I understood that this was a setup by someone who knew me from the club. We were naked, interlocked in his bed with his hands around my throat, and in that moment, there was absolutely nothing I could do but give in and try and survive. I'm gonna keep this part of the story brief, as it's a bad memory for me, horribly visceral, and a trigger for many others. The sex turned so violent that I was in and out of consciousness. The few people I've discussed it with just tell me that I passed out. When we're done, he insisted I spend the night. It was a traumatizing evening of waiting for the worst to happen. Would he beat me? Would he rape me again? I didn't know what to expect, but knew what could happen. It was scary and nauseating to be there at all. When I finally got out, I went straight to my coworkers, who were not very supportive. Half of them didn't even believe me. The other half assured me it was just a misunderstanding. A few of them even knew the guy I was talking about and promised me that he'd never do that. It was awful to escape that situation, only to find myself the villain on the outside. Next, I went to my real friends, people I knew outside my line of work. They knew what I did for a living and kind of blamed it on that. Said I shouldn't have made myself available for situations like that. It was my first experience with a victim blaming in the early 2000s. That left me alone with my worst fears. I decided to go to the clinic and get tested. It was something I could do within my power that would yield pragmatic results. I didn't know what that guy did to me. Was I pregnant? Did I now have an STD? Finding out would bring me at least a little bit of peace. I went and did the testing, then lingered in the waiting room for a few of the quicker results. It was quiet and kind of cozy in there, so I didn't hesitate to nest myself amongst the fuzzy chairs, old magazines, and ratty stuffed animals. I zoned out on my phone and took a little solace in being able to hide out for a minute. That didn't last very long, however. As I looked down at my phone screen, I saw some familiar text, something an acquaintance of mine shared. It was a screenshot photo of my Tinder profile, alongside one of the texts I'd sent to a friend of mine. Somehow, the guy that abused me got a hold of those texts and made a meme out of the entire situation. I broke down right there in the lobby, silently wept to myself. There was nothing I could do, 100% out of moves. I got out of my career field not long after. The scariest part about the whole ordeal was how no one took me seriously because of my profession. I was pigeonholed in this weird, self-created hell, purely by my line of work. Don't ever let anyone tell you how things are just because of your lifestyle. All of my results came back negative. Aside from the emotional damage, nothing stuck. I fell off his radar after a few weeks and he moved on to another victim. Don't make the same mistakes that I did. Don't fall for the fake chivalry. Don't go out expecting others to pay. Don't go home with strangers. And above all else, don't trust dating apps. I used Tinder and other dating apps when I was younger and single. One day, I matched with a guy who was almost 10 years older than me, as I was only 21 at the time. Despite the age difference, which did kind of throw me off, we clicked really well. Many of our interests lined up, and even had some of the same concerts. Having so much in common with an older guy was a real confidence booster. He went on, and in just a week, he suggested we waste no time falling in love. He made it clear he wanted to sweep me off my feet, and there wasn't any sexual pressure or urgency at all. This was a genuinely nice guy who wanted to be sweet on someone. Later, he implied that we should move in together. He started making a checklist of our personal items, seeing what we had doubles of, and what we had none of. It was tedious and cute, and a great way to make small talk. It reminded me of the game Go Fish, except it was a dating version for adults. Lastly, he said that he would be happy to adopt my daughter. This was a huge thing for me at the time, being young, newly single, and even newer yet, made a mother. He described all the duties and roles he'd love to fill, which hit every mark for me. This was like a dream come true. Now, this was all expressed before we'd even met. This was just 7 days of talking. Looking back, it's some of the most psychotic stuff I can imagine, but I was young, and courting weirdos on dating apps. Mr. Say-It-All didn't say a word in person. We met each other at a nice restaurant for an early dinner and just sulked for 2 hours. There's no other way to describe it. I tried speaking to him for a while, to which he would nod or shake his head or simply not even react. What he would do is stare at me for an eerie, uncomfortable amount of time. Deadpan, emotionless, staring right into my eyes. If he moved his eyes to another feature of mine, he would deliver the same merciless stare until his eyes moved again. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. We split the bill and I went home. We communicated through texting for another week as I struggled to let him know that I was no longer interested. He mentioned planning a second date, which forced me to finally come clean. We had a back and forth discussion for maybe an hour about essentially the same thing. We weren't going to talk or see each other anymore. To which he would say he didn't understand, and then continued his gushy, smothering talk. Once I finally got through to him that we were over, He actually took it surprisingly well. He didn't beg or plead for another chance or ask me to meet one last time. I actually never heard from him ever again. Despite that silence, I've never forgotten that damn stare. People talk about boring their eyes out, and this is what they must be talking about. Dark, beady, unblinking. I could feel my heart thumping to a roar the longer he looked at me. Sometimes I wonder what he was thinking while he sat there with that look on his face. The story takes place when dating apps were still kind of new to the social scene, mostly used for casual dating, parties, and hookups. I started using several of these apps probably due to the social pressure, plain curiosity, and also partly because I'd seen my friends have so much success. It just seemed like an innocent pastime for single and promiscuous people. Like everyone back then, I heard the horror stories and urban legends about online dating. These went all the way back to the Craigslist days, so I was familiar with the potentially bad stuff that could happen. This created a slight paranoia for me, so I kept my own precautions in a place when dealing with anyone on these apps. I have a slight fear of men in general, so I really use these apps as a buffer between myself and possibly harmful people. One day, I matched with a guy, and we picked up a conversation pretty much immediately. He was cute in all of his photos and really seemed to be clicking with me. So the exchange is heated to the point that we're hanging on each other's every single word. For someone like me, I perceived it as a genuinely passionate exchange. Not sexual or anything, but just two people excited to learn about one another. He asked for my phone number, to which I agreed. Texting was still somewhat new back then as well, so exchanging numbers solely for the purpose wasn't out of the ordinary. We sent only a few messages back and forth before he asked me for my Facebook and Tumblr account. This started to creep me out because I hadn't mentioned using these social medias. It was like he knew what websites I used. I know it's dumb, but sharing my personal accounts was one of my precautions back then. I know he already had my number, but having my social media accounts would mean he could identify me, things about me, where I live, and all that other stuff you don't want to think about. So I told him I wasn't comfortable sharing that information. He said that was okay because he's a spy. He already knew everything he wanted to know about me. I laughed and tried to joke with him, but he brushed it off like he wasn't kidding. I started getting knots in my stomach because this was getting weird and felt too close. I wished I wouldn't have given him my number so easily. We kept texting for a little while until he started casually mentioning personal information about me. My last name, the street I lived on, the school I went to as a child. It gives me chills to think about all of the random stuff he somehow learned about me. It's easy just to chalk it up to him actually being a spy, but what are the chances of that? Zero, probably, so how did he even know? He went on at length about how he was so relieved that I wasn't catfishing him, that I was an honest girl, not giving him the runaround. I got defensive. I started calling him a creep, to which his only response was laughter in all the capital letters. As I said before, this was when texting and dating apps wasn't really as high tech, so you couldn't like text bomb people. And that's where you'd send the same text to someone's phone dozens, maybe even hundreds of times. He text bombed me with these ha-has every time he sent them. I know it doesn't sound like anything, but it was chilling to receive. I was upset and scared. All I could do was get laughed at. After a while, I just stopped responding. It didn't matter, as he just continued to blow my phone up for several more hours. After a week, I finally went to my service carrier's office and filed for them to have him block his number. This seemed to work, as I never heard from him again. It also proves he wasn't a secret spy or whatever he claimed to be. He was just a techie weirdo. The whole thing was very isolating and demeaning. Don't make a habit of handing out your phone number to people. This was years before dating apps were a thing, when we used various websites to try to match with essentially complete strangers. I was using Match.com, and very cautiously, I might add, as the whole concept was still new and I had some apprehensions about the possible dangers that were involved. I would log in once a week, just to feel like I was taking proactive steps to escape my lonely, single life, without actually doing a whole lot in the way of dating. I started talking to a guy that interested me, and in retrospect, my interest was from a purely physical standpoint. I thought he looked like Jeremy Piven in one of his profile pictures, a celebrity I'd been crushing on for a decade at that point in my life. Had he not looked like Piven, I'd have never been caught up messaging him and would have never gotten involved. When we met up, I knew things wouldn't go well. First of all, he looked nothing like my crush. He looked like the character from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series. Skinny, poofy, receding hair, timid. He catfished me pretty hard and didn't seem interested in addressing it in the slightest. His first tactic was to drown me in alcohol. We met at a restaurant and started with a round of cocktails. He insisted on shots multiple times in between our first and second rounds, which practically came at the same time because we drank them so fast. There wasn't any bread or starter food, so my stomach was on its own with all this booze. He'd gotten me drunk before our entrees even hit the table. A pair of Manhattans came to the table just as we finished eating, another treat he insisted on. By now, we'd had 6 or 7 drinks, way more than the amount I'm used to. It got to the point that I insisted that I needed to go home, which he obliged almost too happily. In fact, this later on, as you can imagine, turned out to be a huge mistake. Never ever let these kind of people know where you live. It will come back to bite you in the ass. He parked in front of my duplex, but kept the doors locked. He was assuming we'd have sex in the car before I stumbled my drunk ass inside. I was so plastered and in such a state of disbelief, all I could do was laugh. We were going to drunkenly get it on out in the street, like a couple of high schoolers. Suddenly, I realized this guy was legitimately a loser. The whole thing from start to finish was just a plot to get laid. Again, you have to remember, this is in the days of Match.com. I was one of the many women looking for love on the internet. I admit that my interest in this guy stemmed from what I perceived as his good looks. But using a dating service just to get laid was crazy to me. What a bizarre way of scoring a hookup, like tons and tons of extra work. He didn't get it, and I had to lay it out flat that I was refusing to sleep with him in the back seat. "So it's a no after all that?" he asked. "I'm sorry," was all I could say. "No, you aren't. If you're sorry, let's just do it," he said. It was all pressure, but I continued to deny him. His face turned darker and darker until he finally gave in. "Fine, be a bitch," he said. "What?" I asked. He continued to berate me the entire time I sat there. He picked every flaw from my features and didn't just examine it, but blew it up. He made me sound like the ugliest woman he'd ever seen. It didn't stop with the physicality, though. Nothing was safe. Everything I'd shared about myself on my profile and at dinner suddenly became the weapons used against me. To say he hurt my feelings is an understatement. He brought me to tears and looked happy when he did it. It was just starting, though. I woke up the next morning to flowers on my back porch, complete with an apology note, the signature from you know who. I was stunned. What a complete whack job to take me out, attack me in the driveway, then leave me a present like we had history together. I was numb at the thought of him skulking around the outside of my house, peering in the windows, waiting for me to wake up. This went on for 2 months. I'd wake up at least once a week and find a pile of apology gifts sitting outside my back door. I spoke to a few close friends and family members, and they all told me the same thing. Call the police. Now, don't wait. Don't reach out to this weirdo. Just simply file a police report and get on the right side of safety. The issue is that I was so humiliated from being catfished, I simply couldn't bring myself to do it. Going to anyone meant I'd have to explain how the hell I got involved with this asshole. Almost blackout drunk in the passenger seat of his wannabe sports car. So I got creative. I fished out my old Polaroid camera down from the closet shelf. Next, I took the 380 North American Guardian pistol from my bedside table and set it on my pillow. I centered the eyepiece and snapped a keeper for my stalker friend. On the bottom place card I wrote, "I'll use this next time you come by." I slipped the Polaroid into an envelope and left it at the back porch. It took a couple of days, but sure enough, one morning it was gone. and he never came back after that. Years later, I actually ran into that guy again at a restaurant just down the road from where he took me. He was alone, balding, generally looked like hell. I was with my new husband, who had heard several stories about this guy. My husband stared him down until he actually paid his tab and left the bar altogether.
This took place in the late 1990s, not too long after I graduated high school. A little backstory first. I met this guy when I was about 14 or 15. He was older than me. I never really knew his age since he often lied to me about it, but he was at least a few years older than me. He became my off and on summer fling slash romance for a few years. Nothing really serious. When I was a senior in high school, we connected during the winter one night, and he asked me to be his girlfriend. I did like him a lot, so we started dating full time. He was sweet. I missed most of the red flags, like him worrying about all the other guys in class noticing me if I wore a dress or something. Right after my 18th birthday, we moved in together. I was still in high school, and I had an after-school job, so I thought I could handle it. Plus, I thought it would be a helpful life partner and we could get a life together. I was wrong. I graduated high school and ended up getting two jobs, and he would keep quitting any job he had. I was also preparing to go to a local college. I was determined to do it all though. After about a year of this, and some really crazy fights that became physical, I ended up just becoming numb to the life I was living now. I say physical, but the truth is, he was physically abusive. Between the physical and mental abuse and torture, he wore me down. I knew I deserved better. I knew he was lying every single time he told me that he would never hurt me again. I also believed him when he told me he would kill me and think nothing of it. I won't tell every single time he beat me, but one of the times I truly thought he was going to murder me. I had been at home with our baby boy while he was out with friends or whatever he was doing. It was a pretty good night. I enjoyed being a new mom, and I'd like the time away from the guy. It was relaxing. I'll refer to him as Asshole. Well, Asshole came home later this winter night, and he had brought a friend with him. I knew the friend, but not too well. They came in the house, and everything seemed to be going okay. But I noticed that Asshole was being a little sarcastic with his tone towards me. It was a fake nice and sarcasm. They usually came before he wanted to start a fight. I then prepared for him to start arguing. I thought that his friend being there would be a safety net of some sort. Boy, was I wrong. I made sure not to do anything to make him mad. I stayed close to my little boy and let him and his friend just hang out, talk, and drink, and whatever they were doing. I couldn't pinpoint exactly what caused him to snap that night, but he did. It was the worst I had ever seen him. He wanted to fight me. He screamed in my face that he was going to beat me like a man, all while I was holding our baby. His friend followed him, or at least not standing too far away from him. I tried to run, but he blocked me before I could get away. He told me he was going to kill me. I saw his friend just standing there, panicked. I handed him my baby, and then said, "Please don't let anything happen to him." The moment my baby was in his friend's arms, I felt my hair being ripped out of my head. Asshole began kicking and hitting me. I got away long enough to make it to the living room where our landline phone was. I dialed 911, and right as I hit the third, he picked me up and then slammed me down on the ground. He slammed the phone down to hang it up and then cracked me on the face with it. I thought for sure that 911 call didn't go through. He began hitting me so hard and choking me that I was blacking out and seeing stars as my head spun like crazy. I looked at his friend and I begged him to go get help. He just stood there, scared to death. Asshole then told him if he did, he would kill him. I understood in that moment that his friend was truly just as scared and didn't know what to do. I wasn't mad at him for not helping. I was just really thankful that he was protecting my baby. I knew this was going to be it. Asshole was going to kill me like he often said he would. He would have no remorse, just as he promised. I wasn't about to make this easy on Asshole. I fought back, harder than I'd ever fought back before. He was on something, which I later found out, so his strength was definitely not something that I could match. Not to mention he was about 100 pounds bigger than me, but I was a mom who wanted to live to see my baby grow up. As he hovered over me, hitting me in the head and choking me, I grabbed his balls and twisted and pulled. It didn't faze him. He was so high. I was tasting blood and feeling so numb. He was beating me so bad that I wasn't even hurting anymore. Maybe it was the adrenaline in the moment. I don't know. But suddenly, the hit stopped. I no longer felt my head getting bashed in. But weirdly enough, I heard a pounding. He got off of me, and for a split second, I didn't know what was happening. I wasn't even sure if I was still alive at this point. Finally, I stood up as he told me to be quiet. The pounding was the police knocking on our door. The 911 call had been an open call, and the entire fight was heard. Asshole answered the door, and he told me to stay back. He started to tell the police some story about the baby just crying. I stepped in the view of the officer who looked at me, and he immediately threw Asshole against the outside of our home. The rest seemed to happen so fast. Asshole was being arrested, and an officer was talking to me and taking my statement. One of the cops told me that I had one of the worst injuries he had ever seen a person have and still be alive. Asshole had hurt me so badly that he had beat a hole into my lip where I couldn't even have a drink without the water going through. He called me from jail, and the exact words he said to me was, "Why did you do this?" He really wasn't even sorry at all. He didn't even lie to me this time and pretend that he was. I left him. He was eventually sentenced to 26 days in jail. He never served them because he moved to another state before he could be arrested. He managed to find me and stalk me, but I'd stayed strong and stayed away from him. Eventually, he had moved on to his next target. I have truly felt so much guilt over this, but the next woman was beaten and choked too. But she wasn't just beaten, she was also choked to her death. He took the life of someone, and I'm sure he thought nothing of it, just as he always said to me. I know deep in my heart that if I hadn't walked away, it would have been me he killed, but I'm so sorry to that woman's family. He's in prison now, probably feeling no remorse at all, but hopefully he's getting justice served to him in other ways. I'm just so glad that I actually got away from him.